Well, let's get into the preaching time. Amen. That's what we're here for, right? All right, so what does it take for a church service? We asked the question this morning, are you ready for church? So what comprises, and you're going to have to talk to me because it's your church service. So what comprises a church service? A choir. All right, hold on. Choir. Oh, hold on. Hold on. One second. We're gonna go one at a time. One at a time. So we need a choir. No offense. Don't get mad at me. I'm just gonna point this out. Are we having church without a choir? We are. Now I missed the choir, just so you know, Brother Tyler. I'm very disappointed that you're slacking. I love Brother Tyler, too. I'm getting to know him a little bit better. And him and Miss Sea Dog and Brother Thug, you know, T-Hug. And so, we can have a church service without a choir. Believers. That's what I heard, right? Believers. Is it possible to have a church service without believers? Hold on. Hey, we got yes, no's, and some of y'all are just not sure how to answer. Is it possible to have a church service with no believers in the room? Come on. All I'm trying to do, here it is. Y'all are already conflicted. Y'all are like, I don't know. Just tell us. All right, so let's get a little more rifle. Can you have a church without believers? No, you can't. The church is the called out assembling of believers. So it's impossible to have church without believers. Because there are places that are meeting together that are not a church, and they do not have believers, but they claim they're a church. They're not a church. All right, so we'll iron in that one out. So is it possible to have a church service without believers? No. You got to have believers. The church is for the believers. It is not for the unsaved. All right, but hold on. Yeah, I'm going to get there. All right, Brother Sutherland, I'm going to get there. As our verse said, we want to go out and compel them to come in that his house may be filled. But when they come into the house, listen to me, they are not here. They are not here. We are not here for them. We are here for him. That's what the church gathers for. All right, you with me? Have I lost anybody yet? I got some of you all looking at me squirrely. You're like, you're a heretic. All right, no, I'm not. I can back it up from Scripture what I'm saying. All right, Ephesians chapter number 4. We're gonna iron a couple things out here. I don't want to leave too many wrinkles for Pastor. Let's iron a couple of things. Ephesians chapter number 4. He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. Evangelist to who? To the church. For what? Perfecting of the saints. The work of the ministry. The edifying of the body. All right. So we're getting back in track now, right? So the church service, we got to have believers. Got to have believers. All right? We got to have a preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? All right, now that was written to the church. All right, so you got to have a preacher. But what else is necessary for a church service? Glory of God. Come on. Right? You said the word of God? I thought you said the glory of God. I was like, man, you were right here with me. I thought we were kindred spirits. Amen. No, we're not. No. Word of God. I'll give you that one. The word of God. That's absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. But I'm gonna challenge you on this thought. The church service ought to be a place where the glory of God shows up. It ought to be the place where the presence of God is just sensed when you walk through the door. But that's only possible if the preacher and the believers are in one accord with the Word. Now, are we ready for church? Come on. I love singing. Praise ought to be a part of our worship service. Amen. So we need some singing. We need some glorifying God. We need some praise to get on in the church. All right, I'm telling you, I get excited when we come into church. I want to come to church ready to hear the Word. Now, let me ask you a question. If Pastor Burke comes in next Sunday morning and he gets into the pulpit and he says this, I've had a really long week, and I didn't study, and I have no word of the Lord for you today. What is your thought going to be? Now, y'all better be careful because Mama's sitting right there. Mama's already thinking, I'm going to take him back to the house and we're going to talk. Now, you have an expectation for your preacher, don't you? Doesn't matter if he's tired. Doesn't matter if he's weary. When you come to church, there's an expectation that he's met with God and that he has a message from him. So let me ask you a question. Is pastor allowed to expect something from you? What can he expect from you? Now, though, hold on. We're getting down to, I am going somewhere with this. I know y'all don't think I am. But I'm legitimately going somewhere because I want you to follow my thinking on this because it's going to really show how we come to the scriptures tonight. What can pastor expect from you in the church service? Attention? Attendance? You ought to be here. You ought to be at church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Listen to me. Now, there's a difference in being sick and you forsaking. Forsaking is when I put something else in front of my obligation to be at God's house. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about some vacations or anything like that. You go on vacation, you ought to be in church. I'm just saying. And I know it's not my church, and if Brother Travis wants to iron that one back out, I'm going to leave that wrinkle right there. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But what else can he expect from you? Attitude? Is that a bad attitude or a good attitude? Oh, good attitude. All right. Because I can come in with attitude of,
yeah, fix it, Pastor.
All right, so we got attitude. We got all A's right now. But is there anything else that you can think of from the scriptures that God says, this is what your pastor can expect from you? I want to show you something tonight that your pastor ought to be able to expect from you, but is missing in the vast majority of our churches. You ready? Deuteronomy, chapter number 27. Can anybody tell me the first mention of amen? Don't look it up on your phone. Don't cheat with blue letter. Don't grab your tablet. Anybody tell me? All right, here we go. I'm going to let you know. Numbers 5. Now, we're not going to turn there. Numbers 5 is the first place we find amen. Now, so you didn't know where it was. Maybe you know who. Do you know who said amen? No. Not the children of Israel. Nice try. I'm not letting you get away with that one, though. I'm not going to let you feel good about that answer. You ready for this? A woman. A woman was the first person that God said, she shall say, amen. Now that goes against the norm of every Baptist church I've ever been in. Except for you come to mine, you're going to hear the women saying amen. Because I believe the Bible. And tonight, I want to preach a message on, are you ready for church? Are you ready for church? Deuteronomy 27. Beginning in verse number 14. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. Now I want you to help me out. We're going to get down into verse number 15. And there's going, for the next several verses, it's going to say, and all the people shall answer and say, I want you to take over that last part. All right, you ready? Here we go. Cursed be the man that marketh any graven and molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that perverteth and the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. I want to ask you a question. Were there hard things said in that passage of Scripture? And God said, the church has a responsibility to say amen. I'm going to put the premise out there, and then we're going to preach on it. Not only should your pastor expect your attendance, and a right attitude, but he ought to be able to expect you to say, amen. Amen. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, for this time, and I pray now you would give me clarity of thought. Help us, Lord. This is something that is missing in our churches. And God, it is vital to truth going forward. Lord, we ask that you be honored and glorified. Fill me with power. Give me the words to say tonight. God, I ask that your spirit would descend down on us as the rain. Meet with us in a special way tonight. God, we love you. We want you to be exalted because you are the amen. And I love you. Thank you for this opportunity. Help now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here it is, we find in our passage of Scripture that God, this is written to us in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the second time the law had been given. The first time it was given in the book of Exodus. It has now been laid out. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. That first generation has passed away. They are now getting ready to pass into the promised land. And God is now using Moses. Moses is not going to the promised land. Moses disobeyed God. He is now being put out. Not because he lost his temper, not because he was a man, but he did not sanctify the Lord to the people. And here it is, as he is preparing these people to go into the promised land, he says, these are going to be the things that you are going to need to be successful. We find the first 13 times that the word amen is mentioned in the Bible, it begins with shall say. It's amazing to me today that we want to praise God. We want to do a lot of different things, but we are missing an area of ministry in the church service, the worship service, that the congregation is to be a part of. Now, let me go ahead and just get out here ahead of this. I know there are a lot of people that say, well, we're just not that kind of church. I'm preaching a message tonight that you ought to be able to take home and do inventory and say, God, change me. See, it doesn't matter if this is, well, we're just not that kind of church. It doesn't matter what you think the kind of church you ought to be. We want to have a biblical church. We're believers, exalting the word of God. And by the way, Jesus exalts the word of God. He exalts his word above his name. How high is his name? His name is above every name. And at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he has highly exalted his word above his name. So you and I ought to hold the word of God in high esteem. And so when we come to the Bible, I want you to see, why should we say amen? Because it's commanded. They shall say amen. When your pastor gets up, let me ask you a question. Does he ever say hard things? The most damaging thing that I've seen a church do to their pastor is leave him standing by himself saying hard things. Well, what's your evidence for that? On Mount Carmel, 1 Kings chapter number 18, he stood up and he said, you need to choose today whether you're going to serve God or serve men. But you make a choice. And the people answered him not a word. What was the next phrase? He said, I'm the only one left. Now we know that there were 7,000 that had not bowed the knee? But everybody was supposed to be up on that mountain. The scriptures say all the children of Israel were on that mountain, and those 7,000 weren't saying amen when he was preaching. So can you see why he got a complex in his head of wrong thinking? It's commanded. Did you know that amen is mentioned 78 times in our divine libraries? In 72 different verses. 22 of them are in the Old Testament. And it's amazing to me because I love first mention. All right, first mention lays out the foundation of what is going to happen and transpire the rest of the way. But what I want to do is I want to go to one of the last. Because if we are truly going to understand, God is saying, I'm supposed to say amen. Well, what does amen mean? It means so be it, or that's truth. All right, so let me just, you ready? Jesus is Lord. Do you believe it? It's truth. Then so be it. That's truth. Now let's take the aerial view, the drone view of this. God gives a command to say amen. Amen is that's truth, or so be it. Revelation chapter number 3. I want you to see this. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Now hold on. What's the next phrase? The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. Now, hold on. We're going to make some connections here. So now we see that this is a proper noun. This is a title. For who? Jesus. This morning, we established that he is truth. In John chapter number 14, in verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is truth. The Word of God is Jesus. He is the Amen. When the preacher gets up and he gets preaching on sin and you shout back to the preacher, Amen! That's truth! You are declaring to all the world, that's Jesus. Why is it important that we say Amen in the church? Number one, it's commanded. But number two, let me get back over to Deuteronomy. I got my outline over there. It confirms unity. What did we talk about when we were asking about what does it take to get a church service? It takes believers and the preacher and the Word of God being unified together. What does the scripture tell us right here? It tells us this. It says, and all the people shall answer. It's a command. They shall say amen. But there, what does this tell us? It shows us, it confirms that there's a unity amongst the congregation. Jesus is Lord. Now we get like, well, I'm just not going to say it. Because we come into church and we just, there. I'm telling you, this is something that's changing. It's changing how I even say amen. When they were quoting scripture of 1 Peter 1 and 2, there's so much truth in that. When I hear truth, what am I supposed to say? Amen! Amen. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, or by the vain conversations received by the traditions of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As of a lamb without blemish, without spot, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen! When we would engage in declaring truth, what that is showing is that's what I believe. It's bringing a unity to the church. I heard of a church. Now listen, I get it. There are some of those churches out there. They're just shouting, hollering. I heard about one of them. They were a military church. And about 20 minutes before church service would start, one of the men would come in. Hey, Brother Reed! Yeah, Brother Dave! 20 minutes to preaching time! And the crowd go nuts. It all settled down. Hey, Brother Dave! Yeah, Brother Reed! 15 minutes to preaching time! And the crowd go nuts. And I heard the testimony. I was talking to the preacher, and he said, he had one of his men come up to him, and he says, man, I don't know if all this amen and junk is real. Preacher looked at him and says, I don't know if it's real either, but I know your negative Sour Patch Kid's face is real. And it's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know your countenance says a whole lot about what you believe? I'm just telling you, your pastor has a obligation to preach hard things. I want you to think about some of that list that was read through. Talk about some of the immorality that it dealt with. He's got to preach on that, and many times we just silent because we're embarrassed of the topic. You think he wants to preach on it? Don't you think he would rather preach on the love of Jesus? Don't you think he would rather talk about Jesus Christ, the exalted Savior, and how he comforts and brings joy to our souls? But we've got to get the negatives as much as the positives. Let me ask you a question. If you had all positive, you going to be able to start your truck in the morning? Right, try it. See what happens. Just go disconnect the negative side of your battery and see if your truck's going to start. It ain't going to happen. As God talks about the do's and the don'ts. He talks about the sins of commission and the sins of omission. And when it comes to preaching truth, there ought to be a unity in the church, and we signify that unity during the preaching time with a unified amen when truth is spoken. Not only does it confirm unity, but it conveys a solidarity between the congregation and the pastor. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to a capital, like the state capital, and they've had a same gender marriage or abortion? They hold some type of rally at the Capitol. Have you ever been to one of those? Okay. Have you ever been to a rally where y'all are trying to have a heartbeat bill or you're trying to have a religious freedom act? You ever been one of those? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you my experience in Iowa. All right, Iowa is one of those states that, like, right now we're conservative, but it can swing. All right, and so when we go down, praise God, hallelujah, our heartbeat bill just got wrote into law on Monday. So no babies can be murdered after 8 weeks. Hallelujah. Now, I want it at conception. That's where I want it. But I'm going to take I'll take the heartbeat. So abortions all stopped. Now, what did Planned Parenthood do? They put a big old push on to get here before midnight, get here before midnight, get here before midnight. And they were doing these abortion marathons. All right, we've gone down, and I've had the opportunity to sit before the subcommittee, and I start, and this is what Principal Insurance is home base is in Des Moines. I sat right next to one of their head VPs, and he said, "We want to boom the economy, and we want you to know that we are going to have major issues with you and the diversity in our company if you put into place a Religious Freedom Act for churches. And it's going to affect the bottom line of this state." I sat next to him. And I said, "Righteousness has nothing to do with dollars and cents." And in that moment, when I got done speaking, boo, boo, boo! It took us 3 years to pass a religious liberty bill. But it just got signed in. Hallelujah. Now protected to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to anybody and everybody. But I've been out there in that crowd. I've walked through it. And they are as vile as you can be. But I have a biblical responsibility in my church to stand and preach truth against a vile nation. And I cannot tell you how many times I've been in preaching in church and it's silent. And I feel alone. Now I know I'm not alone. God's with me. Amen. But when the pastor gets going and he gets into hard ground, now just for a moment, we're going to go to a farming term. Plow on, preacher. You're going to hit some hard ground. You're going to hit some roots. You're going to hit some rocks. Don't stop. Keep going, preacher. Plow on, preacher. Hey, it is your job to make sure that there is a conveying of solidarity of the truth of God's word in the church. When pastor gets up behind this pulpit and praise God, you've got a good pastor. You've got a good man that knows the word of God and comes in and to the best of his ability through the enabling of the Holy Spirit of God preaches, "Thus saith the Lord." You have a biblical responsibility. When he speaks truth, amen. As simple as Jesus loves me. It doesn't matter how simple the truth is. When it comes to truth, Jesus is truth. Now watch, I want you to see, because the amen in is not just so that we can have some solidarity and so that we can have some unity. I don't just do it because it's commanded, but watch this, it gets gooder. Let me get to my next spot here. 1 Kings chapter number 1. 1 Kings chapter number 1. This is the next place we find amen in our divine libraries. I want you to see this. Not only does it produce or convey solidarity in the congregation and the preacher, but it shows a solidarity or conveys a solidarity between us and God. Now you watch this. This is so good. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. All right, hold on. Let it be so. The Lord God of my Lord the King, say so too. You see that? Hold on. What did he say? David says that Solomon is to be king, and God says, I agree. Do you see that? Jehoiada was Benaiah of the son of Jehoiada answered the king. All right, so Benaiah is the priest that's talking to God, that God is conveying the message to him. When David said, I want you to anoint Solomon king, God says, let it be so. Amen. I say so too. When a man of God gets up and declares the truth of God, listen to me, I love this. I love this. Woo! Amen. I love this, that God gets into heaven and says, whoa, let it be so. I say so too. That's God sitting on his throne. When a man of God gets up and preaches, thus saith the Lord God, God hears truth and says, amen. That's my son. That's truth. That pleases me. When God hears you and I worshiping him, he bends his ear to us to hear us sing. And the angels stop and they lean in too, because we sing a song that they cannot sing. They can't understand redemption. But when God hears us speaking truth, he says, amen. Not only does it convey a solidarity between the preacher and the congregation, but it conveys a solidarity between the church and God. But it gets gooder. The next place we see it is Nehemiah. Oh, too far. Nehemiah's in there, right? All right, good. Thank you. Hold on. I want you to see this. So are you with me so far? Amen. All right. So we see the command. All right. We see that it shows unity. We see that it is conveying solidarity. It confirms unity. It's conveying solidarity. But I want you to see this. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse number 13. You there? Also, I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen. And praised the Lord. Hold on. I want you to see something. We now have, because we have confirmed our unity, and we have conveyed a solidarity that he is truth, what does it show us? It shows us it conceives praise. It conceives praise. So when your pastor gets up, marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I praise him. Why? Because I found a good thing. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Come on, Brother Hall. I'm giving you an opportunity to say amen right there. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Amen.
Come on. I'll do a lap for that one. I'll be out of breath. It'll be about 5 minutes, but I'll be back. Here it is. It produced praise and worship, praise to the Lord. When I hear truth, I get excited about truth. Even though the Spirit may convict me with said truth, I get excited. Why? Because I'm being conformed to the image of His Son. And when I implement, watch this, this is what's amazing. What is the next part of that? That praise became obedience. And the people did according to this promise. They obeyed. Because they were in a solidarity during the church service. When they left the church service, they were praising God and obeying what they had just heard. Let me ask you a question. Has the pastor ever preached anything that was contrary to your thought process? Did you come around to the truth? See, I do know this. I do know this. I might not see everything the way everybody else sees things, but I love the Holy Spirit who convinces of truth. When truth is declared, and in the church, when truth is agreed on, praise can be given and obedience can ensue. Man, let me encourage you in this. When pastor gets on, whatsoever man findeth to do, do it with his might. You ought to be saying amen. What are we trying to do? I'm trying to establish for our little young men that's truth. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Truth. Study to be quiet, to do your own business. Truth. Man, I was probably 16 years old. Pastor Savage pulled me into his office. He said, "Jeff, I got a verse I want you to memorize." I'm like, "Oh, okay." 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Study to be quiet and to do your own business, to work with your own hands. I was like, "What does that mean?" He's like, "Close it." And that was his thing too, man. He'd be preaching along, and I sat this seat right here. That's where I sat every Sunday. And if I couldn't sit there, I was punching kids in the leg to scoot them over so I could sit there. I'll never forget, I hit a kid, and we were talking about this today. Where you at, Brother Nate? There you are. I was sitting there, and Ben Miller was like pushing me. And I don't know what I was thinking. I was tired of getting pushed. And I just, boom, hit him as hard as I could right there on the top of his leg. At that very moment, everything stopped. Like the offertory was going, the handshake time, and we're all sitting down, and the offertory's still going. And dead silent. When they hit that last key, then my hand hit his leg, and you heard it through the entire sanctuary. Pastor sitting right there watching me do it with a guest preacher, like, Pastor said, After church, I get pulled in his office. "What is your problem?"
"He kept pushing me."
"You hit him?"
"Yeah."
Oh, man, I got in so much trouble. I'm not going to go through everything I had to do. It was embarrassing. But needless to say, I didn't hit Ben in church anymore. Like, "You can have that spot for a week." You know, I've done a lot of dumb things in church. But I've sat in a lot of church services where God has showed up and the people that are around me are encouraging the preacher with the preached word. Ladies, it is, you have a biblical responsibility here too. Does pastor ever have to preach on the ladies? Oh, he does. It's in the Bible. Aged women teach the younger. Aged women teach the younger. Ladies, come on now. Hey, that's where it's at. Like, it's like, because I know it goes against our norm. I know it goes against what Baptists have been taught for ages. Women are to be silent in the church. That's when it's speaking in tongues and preaching the word of God. Come on. Hey, let's compare a whole lot of other scriptures. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. And all the people shall say,
amen.
That includes women. Hey, it's okay. It's all right to get a little handkerchief going every now and then. It's okay. What are you doing? You're signifying I'm with you. Plow on, preacher. I love it. You know who I... it always cracks me up. Now, kids, pay attention when you're saying amen. Now, you don't just say amen. Like, if they're getting going, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. All the kids, amen, you know. That's a good word. Make sure the timing is right. But what are we trying to do? I'm trying to train my son to say amen in church. I love it. I can hear him too. That's what's fun. Because he's getting to that point to where he's starting to get a little bit of bass, but he still has every so often. And man, we'll get going at church and he'll be like, hey man! I'm like, yeah, that's my boy. But we're not putting on a show when we come into church. When I hear truth, I'm declaring truth. It produces worship. Matter of fact, the next several times that we see this, let me see here. I believe it's chapter number 8 and verse number 6. Watch this. This is so good. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Are you with me? You there? Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Nehemiah 8 and verse number 6. Or is it 9? It's 9:6. I'm sorry. Y'all are like, what in the world? 9:6. My bad. It's in 8:6:2. Hold on. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Lifted up their hands. All right, let's go there first. Amen. That's good. Right there, that's what I'm talking about. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered,
amen.
With lifting up their hands. Whoa, wow! All right, Mr. Charismatic. Now, I'm not letting the charismatic steal my worship and my praise and lifting up of my holy hands to my holy God. I'm not doing it. 36 times in your divine libraries, you find God says, lift up your hands. 36 times. He says it once, that's enough. He says it twice, that means I ought to do it. 36 times is a reminder, don't forget it. It's okay when a song is going on, when we all get to heaven, hey man. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Those are holy hand times. When the presence of God, I'm sure you've been in the church services, where the manifest presence of God just shows up. By the way, that's Bible. That's John chapter number 14. And he says, if you love God, I will manifest myself to you. I've been in church services where God shows up and the singing is just, whew, and the holy hands come up. We were at Hope Conference just this past couple weeks ago. We were, and again, I try not to show off, and I love saying amen. I love encouraging the preacher. And you want to know, this is how I sit in preaching. I'm not exaggerating. You ask my wife, you can ask Brother Burke, you can ask anybody. I'll come over and display it over there too, Brother Chad. I want you to be able to see it too. This is how I sit in church. That's good, preacher. Amen. And let me come over here and show you, Brother Chad. Get on the edge of my seat, and I am there, eager to receive the word. I smile at the preacher. Like, what is wrong with you? I don't know. A lot. But if you came in and you changed the countenance on your face, maybe got on the edge of your seat just a little bit, of eager to receive the truth that God wants you to have today, listen to me, you're going to have a different experience at church. And all of a sudden, you get the congregation in one accord, unified, solidarity between us and God. Guess what? The presence of God can show up and show out. And all we can do is stand up and put our hands up and say, praise the Lord. What does it go on to say? It goes on to say, not only did they lift up those heads, but they bowed their heads. And they worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. Well, glory. By the way, that's what it says in 9:6-2. And they bowed their face to the ground. And they worshiped God. When we get into a one accord in the preaching time of the church, listen to me, saying amen, can produce praise and worship. Because our God is a great God. He's God alone. There's none beside Him. There was none before Him. There's none after Him. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, He changes not. Brother Jordan was talking about times have changed. Hey, I'm telling you, times have changed, but our God has not. Amen. The same God that sent down fire to Mount Carmel. The same God that saved 3,000 at Pentecost. The same God that added 5,000 some days later and then added daily as such should be added to the church. That's the same God we serve. And that's the same God we preach. Now watch this. Saying amen to the preacher is fine. If you're not ashamed to declare Jesus Christ. Now hold on, we're about to hit a rough spot. Failure to say amen in the church service is failure to declare that Jesus is truth. And you, hear me, are sinning against the Son of God and exalting Him as truth. I want that to settle in for just a moment. Just as Peter denied the Lord at the fire, we have many a church member who deny the Lord in our church services because we refuse to acknowledge Him as truth by simply saying amen. Whether it's pride. Watch this. I get this one. Have you ever heard a preacher get on preaching on prayer? Have you ever been convicted under the preaching on prayer? It's kind of hard to say amen when you're convicted, isn't it? That's when the time you're supposed to say it. because that's truth. Those are the hard things. I'm telling you, if we could grab a hold of this, Christ is then exalted in the church. He then draws people unto himself. You're saying we're going to grow our church by saying amen? Hold on. Yes. Because you will grow you in truth. And you will not be ashamed of him out there because you're not ashamed of him in here. I wonder why people don't pass tracts out. I wonder why people are not concerned about letting Jesus be seen in their lives. Maybe it's because we're ashamed of him in the church. Maybe we come into church and we just say, okay, bless me if you can. All right, now we're tired, aren't we? Who's tired? Amen. Hey, Jesus was tired. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And yet, he still declared truth. When we come into church, I'm telling you, you want to change the atmosphere of your church? Declare truth. Your pastor is going to declare truth. I know it. And hear me. He stops declaring truth, I'm going to be one of the first guys on the front door. That's why we have friends. Amen. I think there's a few of us. We could yank a nod in, Brother Travis. After Mama got done with it. But he's going to preach truth. Are you willing to obey God's clear command? Say amen. I know this isn't a typical message, but I do know this. We've learned a lot about amen tonight, haven't we? God put it in there 78 times. 78 times. And it's not just a salutation. It is Jesus, the faithful and true witness. So every time that pastor gets into this pulpit and says something truth, you say amen. You are not only obeying the command, you are not only confirming a unity, you're not only conveying a solidarity, not only praising God, you're not only obeying, but you are worshiping and exalting Jesus himself. And that, beloved, is what a church service is all about. So what kind of church service do we want to have? Are you ready for church?